Okay. Well, hey. Welcome to the shit show. I'm Genevieve, or Frankie, or I'm not really sure, but there's a lot. And here's Nicole.
I'm Nicole. That's me.
Okay, so I got in your car, and you told me you had an experience that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And okay. It was very vague and intriguing.
Yeah, no. So I'm writing this thesis on guerrilla gardening, you might want to hold that. I'm, like, in the process of collecting plant starts and seeds so I can, like, A, just, like, learn how to grow things and, like, grow my own garden, and B, like, start planting without permission on Lewis and Clark's campus. So I drove up to Battleground.
Wait, can I just ask why, like, how you would... I understand it'd be different because it seems like you're planting with, like, a very intentional reason behind it, but how can you illegalize planting on anyone's property when you could just argue, like, you're gonna tell me there's no possibility those seeds just got dropped in your grass?
And,
do you illegalize something that just blows into the world and
it's less the seed bombs and it's more, like, the, because, like, the... I mean, the heart of guerrilla gardening is, like, taking spaces like, for instance, the little green patches in between the sidewalk and, like, the street. Like, I'm in the process right now at my house digging up all of the grass and planting, like, edible plants and flowers there. And that is where it gets... like, tricky,
because it's not your property, but I
love
that.
It's the city's property, but, and so, like, some, like, it just depends on, like, the government, or, like, the who's in charge and how they feel about it, but, it can get tricky, because, it's the city's job to maintain that space, so, like, sometimes they've argued, like, but, you know, we are maintaining it, you know, like, we're the ones who are maintaining it, and we're, like, you're maintaining it by putting, like, shitty grass that isn't even native to the area in it. Like, imagine if it was just full of, like, imagine if all of our, like, little patches of green space around the city were, like, gardens.
Or, yeah.
Like, just... yeah, like, how cool would that be? It would, like,
and
be
not
such
just
a useful...
use one tree we put here because we like how it looks.
Yeah.
But utilizing the space that we have to the maximum.
And also, like, nature just isn't like that. You know, like, you see parks and it's, like, a bunch of flat grass, and then, like...
what is it? Biospecific gardening? Where you make sure that you're planting, like, what's already native to the area?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know the word for it, but you should do that. And that's, like, very important. So that's why I've been... I bought a couple seeds from, like, A-Boy. Here, you take this. And,
you take this.
Okay. So I bought a couple seeds from the local hardware store, and... like, it's really accessible, you know, it's at the hardware store, whatever, but, there's not a lot of, like, diversity in seed type if you're buying from, like, larger corporate businesses.
Yeah.
So I've been going on Craigslist and going on, Facebook Marketplace and, like, searching for people who are selling, like, local seeds, who are selling, like, starts from their gardens. Just so that, like, you know...
I love seeing the old men, or, like, all the old people who, like, post, and they're like, I have all my different heirloom tomatoes, please come visit me for, like, some seeds.
Yes. That's, like, literally... so, yeah, I go up to Vancouver to do this, and this lady is, like, the most Russian woman you've ever met in your life. And it was really, like, difficult finding her place, and then I got there, and, just ash and all over my goddamn car. Whatever, I'm cleaning it later today. And I get there, and she has me... okay, so I have this blanket in the back, and she's like, we take your towel, and we... your blanket. Like, she just, like, said it so funny. Like, your blanket, and we're gonna just get it entirely wet. And I was like, yeah, fuck the blanket, sure. Like, fuck my blanket. So she just, like, sets it on the ground, like... takes a hose and just pours water all over my blanket. I'm like, okay.
It's a mom now. This blanket is a home.
Yeah, it is a home. And so I get there. She never told me how much money she wanted for this shit. And, like, I just don't know where to put this here. I'm going to put it in. Where did the tube go? Oh, it's this is not as coherent as the last one. I apologize.
It's,
really
like, it's okay.
More annoying to
really
edit.
Really fun to learn editing skills.
Yeah. The art of editing. Okay. Anyways. So, she never told me how much she wanted for these plants. And I get there and I have $28 and she wants $36. And so, like, and, you know, being the old Russian lady that she is, like, she's already, like, done all the calculations and she's peeved that, like, I did not show up more prepared and is explaining to me, like, how to plant these plants. And, like, she obviously has a lot of knowledge. She's like, you know, people are going to tell me that I'm fucking you over, but this is how my grandma did it. Like, this is, like, how my mother did it. Like, this will work. And the way that, like, she didn't, some of the plants, like, she didn't even, like, give me roots. Like, she just kind of cut off the stems and, like,
She gave you the cuttings.
Yeah, the cuttings, yeah. So she was, like, some people are going to say that, like, cuttings don't work, but, like, this is, like, how we do it in Mother
what
Russia.
What person who actually gardens is going to be, like, this cutting will be nothing? My mom gardens a lot, and I brought home a branch that my friend had picked off of their tomato plant, or one of the vines.
Yeah.
And she was, like, you can't just, like, hydroponically garden that. And I was like, Mom, I'm literally just going to put this in a shot glass of water to see what happens. And the only reason why I don't have a tomato plant now is because I forgot about it and it got knocked over and then dried out in the sun.
Oh, sad guy.
But oh, who actually gardens and it's going to be like trimmings or that's horrible?
I don't know. But yeah, so, and I think that she just thought I was stupid because she like knows that I don't have any gardening experience and was very, and I really appreciated like her wisdom, like she is like an elder and, you know, I appreciate, like, I really like respect like where she's coming from. But yeah, so she's like talking to me at the end, like we like did the transaction, whatever, we figured it out. And she's like, so what's this for? And I'm like, what's your project about? And so I'm trying to explain to her, this old Russian lady who barely speaks English, like what guerrilla gardening is. And so I'm like, oh, like my project, I'm an anthropology major. I go to Lewis and Clark. We have to do a thesis that's like 30 pages of research. I am interested in learning about people who plant without permission in urban areas and utilize untended spaces on like private property and government property as a way of providing for their communities. And I think she took that as, I think she thought that I was like interested in investigating her, and she was like, oh, like you, everything that I plant here is legal. Every plant, every chicken, everything legal. And if you try to go against me, like, you know,
she's absolutely hiding like a secret illegal garden, and that's why she's acting this way. She's definitely hiding a secret illegal garden.
She was just like, blah, blah. And I was like, no, it's okay. It's like, yeah, I get that. It's beautiful. And I was like, really trying to just be like, no, like that's not what I mean at all. And, so I think that left us on a sour note. And, as I was leaving, I was like, I'm high, you know, I smoked this joint beforehand and I'm, you know, like driving there and I'm like, like I fucking love life. The bridges are beautiful. And
I have a human responsibility to like state that driving under the influence is unsafe and I don't endorse it.
Okay.
Yes. I'm trying to learn how all this goes and that just feels right. So,
yep. That's fair.
So you're on your enlightened journey to go
get
your
chilling,
plants.
I'm just chilling, you know, I'm just like chilling. And like, so I'm backing out of her like driveway, which is weird and old, and I'm like a little bit high still and I don't really know, like, I don't know. I was just like asking her for help, like what's the best way to do it. And she was like, how many years have you been driving? And I was like, 5 years. And she was like, I think I'm a bad driver, but then I see other women driving and I wonder how they're even on the interstate. And I was like, fuck you, man. Like, I just asked for help getting out of your driveway. Like, I'm a little high. She was just like really like tough old Russian lady. And like, I get that. It was just like really weird. It wasn't weird. It was just like a very interesting, interaction. So yeah,
that was that. That sounds like a dream.
It was weird. It was so strange. She had so many cats, too. Bro, she had a cat that didn't even look like a cat. It looked like a corgi that was a cat. It was weird. I was like, this is some magic shit. Like, this woman is, like, a fucking Russian witch. Bet.
On one hand, I think it would be, like... Actually, that's a lie. I would be so worried living with so many cats. Just based off of the amount of, like... late afternoon true crime and cop shows that I've watched where they're always finding out after the old woman dies that she's been slowly being poisoned by her cats through their excrement. I don't know the nicest way to say that, but I'm so terrified that like any my brain has turned that into if you have a cat you're probably going to die of poisoning. So I change her litter box within like an hour of her going to the bathroom.
Do people get sick if they don't change the litter box soon enough? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, when they like don't clean up after it and there's just so much poop. And
is it not like toxic?
I think it's some toxic thing, and my brain has just associated that with poisonous cat poop, regardless of. Exposure and okay. Length.
Also, it wasn't just me being high that was like
seven.
Like making me
seven.
What?
Burp seven.
Oh.
Out of ten.
Oh. People always do that after I burp, and I'm like, it happens so often I should be better at like understanding what's happening. But I never do. So it wasn't just like the fact that I was like residually high, like that was like making me feel like weird and anxious. Like she also wasn't wearing a mask, and I like was just really like I don't know, I was just like bothered by it, but I like didn't know how to ask her to do that because she was so like intense. And so yeah, I was just really like flustered, and I think that came across as, to her as like me being like young and flighty and like, you know, immature. And I like, not that I needed her opinion, I wish that she wasn't so harsh, because I really wanted to have conversations with gardening about her, but, like, she was just a different kind of person than I expected, you know?
I latch onto those people so hard.
What?
I just decide that...
What kinds of people?
Old, crotchety, terrifying people. I just decide that they have to love me. It also applies for old, nice people, but I just end up getting really quiet and just making myself... something that's constantly around them.
Yeah.
And I figure out what makes them laugh.
And I get the tough love angle for sure. That's just there's not just... my angle.
And for some, I don't know why, because I hate being like told that I'm not doing something correctly, or like I hate being I hate anything other than criticism. Well, I don't enjoy criticism either, because it makes me uncomfortable. But when old crotchety people hate everyone else and I can make them like me, I feel like that's
a specific kind of
my highest achievement.
Oh my god, I feel that. I feel like I get along with, I've always, my whole life, gotten along with like people who are older than me way, way better than anyone my age. Like I was always like the kid trying to sit at the adult table.
Yeah.
Like, because I was like, this is just way more interesting. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand any of it, but I love just sitting there and absorbing it all.
It's not just those people who are like, oh yeah, all my friends are older and they just were like a sophomore with senior friends. I genuinely enjoyed hanging out with like middle-aged adults.
Dating someone who's 20 years older than me, so like, yeah, I like older people. But
okay, I never thought that I would be interested in someone super older than me.
Yeah.
And honestly, lately I've been talking to this artist who I can't figure out how old he is. But he is just
sometimes
like
you just vibe with people.
He's definitely older than my father, and I'm like, I definitely wanna go have dinner with you for not the reasons that we like, not the intentions that I'm telling myself I am.
Yeah.
And that's so weird, but yeah, I love people who are older than
the
people.
I like around being around people who like, I feel like I really like the wisdom. I like being around people who have experienced and like have a little bit more perspective, because it feels really like calming, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm like, like, I don't know, I like being checked, too. I like reminding myself that, like, I have so much left to live, and I have so much left to learn.
That's true. Since I stopped, I used to work at, like, a fast food place, and then I worked at a bookstore, and all the time I just enjoyed hanging out with adults, like, all my adult coworkers.
Yeah.
Because I just enjoyed hearing that they were still doing things with their life, like, in the same way that you were. I liked hearing about, like, what their kids were doing, and then I always, when I was home, would be teaching swim lessons, so I also got to hang out with kids to remind me to, like, have fun with people
around
me.
It's so important to be with, like...
And now I'm just around 20-year-olds. Just around 20-year-olds now, and I'm like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Even my closest friends...
Intergenerational communities are huge. Like, that's huge.
And even my, like, longest lasting, like, healthiest friendships, even they're, like, 5-6 years older than me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally hear that.
But God, I miss helping kids, and I miss just hanging out with my 40-year-old coworkers.
Yeah. I feel like the baby at my work. I'm like, I'm 21. I'm like the second youngest, but like, it's funny because everyone is like, got at least 5, if not like 20 years on me. And so it's like cool being around them, but I feel baby for sure. Feel baby. I like it though. I like being around people who know themselves. It kind of helps me to get to know myself better. And I feel like older people tend to be more grounded in that sense. So
I'm like, absolutely.
Fuck yeah. Not to say that I don't love hanging out with my peers. I just like, I need to call my grandma for something. Like, I need to talk to like my younger brother for something. And I like need to talk to like someone who's my age, like all people in different stages of life have such different things to offer, so it's like a really good way of just getting like inspiration and like reflecting.
I feel so oddly specific in my needs regarding friendship and relational fulfillment.
Yeah.
Like, oh damn, I'm totally gonna lose what I'm gonna say. Okay, actually give me a hot second. I feel like I can't overly connect with a lot of the generation that I'm in and like the people who are around me. I feel like since actually adjusting to quarantine and learning how to spend time with myself but not within myself constantly, and like do things and explore and remember to live in the moment around me and not just be like, oh, I'm in my literal dorm room all day.
Well, and
I'm just thinking about what I'm doing, not really doing anything because I'm thinking about it. So like now that I've gotten past all of that and kind of like settled down in myself, I feel like I'm definitely drawn to the older people in my life. And that hanging out with like people around my age and then also looking for that connection through social media when it's like not available in front of me, I just don't like much of what I'm getting out of it at all. Mm-hmm. And so it's been hard. I have like 1-2 people my age that I feel like I really connect with, and that's so weird because I spent my entire life aligning myself with the idea that I was literal friends with everyone, and to me that meant like good friends, like I would do as much as I can for you, and I didn't understand why that was bad.
Maybe not bad, but
not bad, but it's hard, especially for years on end, just being like, I feel like I'm genuinely willing to do more than is possible for every single person that I connect with ever.
Totally. Yeah, and I feel like I'm like a sponge around other people, dude. It's like I really have to choose my people well, or else like I can get into habits or patterns or like just states of being that are just like not true to who I really am. But like, yeah, and it's
you're like, literally a reflection of the 5 people you spend the most time with.
Yeah, and but there's something to be said about like I don't know. I feel like so many people my age, like, are... I feel like I'm at... I just have more wisdom. I was, like, given more wisdom, or, like, I was given the ability to, like, kind of see through a lot of bullshit, like, earlier on, and I definitely have so much more learning to do, but it's kind of frustrating being around people my age, because sometimes I feel like they're not, I can see that they're still on their path to, like, making certain realizations, which is, like, awesome, and I love that, but, like, as far as, like, doing things with other people or, like, forming relationships, I really need that. I need those people to be on my level. And I can no longer, like, have intimate connections. Like, you know, I just need people to see me for what I am. And I need a relationship to be, like, organic and true. And, like,
yeah,
sometimes people just aren't into doing things that are, like, that are like that. Like, you know, I don't want to share a screen with you. I'm in a higher vibration. No, it's like, I just have a very different way of perceiving. I have a very different way of being present. I have a very different way of, like, relaxing. And I need people to be kind of aligned with me in that sense, you know?
I definitely feel like I get where you're coming from. I feel like I've thought about that a lot, especially when I'm hanging out with other people. And I'm like, I feel like I should vibe with them better, but I don't.
Yeah.
But when I just look at it that way, I feel like I isolate myself negatively from a lot of people, and, like, I feel like it also makes me resentful.
I think that's, like, one of many ways of looking at
it. I was gonna say, like, once I kind of, like, step back from thinking about it incessantly, I just realized that, like, my values don't align with them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't say anything on either of us as being a good, bad, better, worse person, but just that our values don't align and we're not complementing or benefiting each other.
And not, I'm realizing not everything has to be assigned to a value. Not everything has to be good, bad, but, like, things can just be. And also, like, yeah, no, I think that there's just so many facets of experience. It's so, there's no way you can pin it all down, you know?
Yeah. I also think that with how our subsection of society, what is it, like, our, is it our generation?
I mean, I guess generation would refer to, like, people born at the same time, or are you talking about, like,
just, like, I region feel in terms specifically of location? Like 20s and under, like, that group, I feel like they've begun to approach I'm losing it as I'm trying to figure out how to explain it well. I feel like people who are probably more so, like, Gen Z, tail end of millennial, not really millennials, they look at friendships. I totally knew what I was gonna say, and then I couldn't figure out the word for subsection of society.
Yeah. There's a difference in the way that
there's a difference in the way that they regard friendship and their desire for it. Like, yeah. I feel like a lot of people look out and make connections based on the fact that they want a friendship, or that they want another friend, or they want something else to do that night.
And sometimes the wanting of the thing gets in the way of it actually being good.
Like, you aren't realizing that the true friendships that are going to add the most value to your life are going to be people who are living lives that are generally aligned with yours, and so you'll probably run into each other at a coffee shop or a concert or meet someone at work.
What's meant to be, like, you were, if you open yourself to, like, the whims of fate, like, and if you know yourself and if you, like, tune your compass, like, you're gonna be on the path that you need to be, you know?
Everything in divine timing. Like, okay, on divine timing, first of all, yes, I was journaling for honestly 2 hours last night, and I had realized, like, exactly what you said, that when I desire things, there's inevitably gonna be something wrong with, like, there's always gonna be something wrong if I'm coming from a place of wanting something.
I think it's okay to desire, but keep going.
I was gonna say, I have more to make that not sound as bad as it is. When I'm just, like, looking for things out of a want or out of a desire, I'm going to find what seems to fit it, but I don't know the full picture because it didn't just fit in my life at that time. So I'm going to see what, like, looks like it's going to be perfect and, like, not realize all the negatives that come along with that and whether or not I was ready because I wanted it so badly that I found it, like, before it came in at its time.
Yeah.
But that with everything that... Have you read a lot into the Law of Attraction?
No.
So manifestation is going around right now. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's practicing it. Everyone's manifesting their reality, which is great. I just finished a book by Deepak Chopra. I don't know how to say it.
I don't know who that is.
But he just wrote a book about creating your reality, and it's the first half of it is literally just an overview of where physics is at in regards to just the ability to make new progress because they've kind of hit a block in the ideology that they follow. They've pushed it, like, so far that because they're ignoring a few things that don't fit into it, that they're ignoring the things that create issues in their ideology. Mm-hmm. And so they've kind of reached, like, a point where if they don't acknowledge these new things, these new ideas, they won't be able to make further progress.
Yeah.
And then the second half of it, they basically relate to all of the issues modern physics is coming up to a point against, like, what was before the universe, because they can only know what they have a record of in history, so, like, they can carbon date whatever they want, but they will never know what was before the Big Bang. They literally have an entire name for an entire field of studies in regards to, I think, something that was a billionth of a second long that blocks them from being able to find a starting point to define, like, all this. Like, they're hitting walls because they won't acknowledge that you can only research what you already know. Like, you research a hypothesis that had to come from something else. And so you're creating your reality. And I was reading about that, reading about the Law of Attraction soon after I finished that book. And someone pointed out that according to karma, basically, you need to let go of everything that you're holding that comes from, like, a negative place, and a desire is probably from an unfulfilled need, so you're potentially coming at it out of, like, fear,
desperation,
and when you're holding on to that, or when you're holding on to anxiety, and you're holding on to fear, like, you block out space in your life for things to come into alignment, for them to, like, work out for you, because you don't have any room in your life for it.
Yeah.
So...
No, that's really true. I mean, I think that, like, people in this country have a lot of desire to control, and once something is out of your control, it becomes fearful, and I think that could be said just not for this country, but for a lot of countries, but, like,
just a lot of people in general.
Yeah, there's so much freedom that comes with letting go of expectations and just being present, just knowing that you have all the tools within you to solve whatever's coming ahead, and that you're gonna be okay, and, like, there's nothing that, you know, that you can't, that hasn't happened before, or that, like, other people don't also know, or that, like, you know, there's just, I don't know where I'm going with that thought, but I think I've been practicing a lot of, like, presence and a lot of, like, just detachment from needing things to be a certain way or needing to control certain situations, and being okay with stepping back and saying, okay, like, where would be the best point for me to step in? Like, instead of trying to meddle with it all, because then it goes so lopsided.
I got really stuck for a while on my struggle with my desire and my need to control, because I was just so mad that I couldn't do more, because I felt so upset with all of the circumstances around me that were creating issues, because, to be fair, we are all right now literally dealing with the worst circumstances anyone could be mad about. So while usually it's, like, horrible to just singularly blame your situation for all of your issues, like, right now, a great deal of a lot of issues can be based on a situation, and I've been just so angry because it feels so out of my control. But once I was doing some of my, like, therapy work and journaling, I started to not just once, like, write a list of what I can and can't control, but try to, like, sit down and revisit the idea of you can only control yourself.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot of ways that you can take the, like, fear over your lack of control over your circumstances and redirect that energy into finding your power in that you can control your, you can control yourself fully.
So much more constructive.
And control how you act within situations, because you can't change situations.
Yeah.
You can't argue with the world. But, you can't turn off coronavirus. But, yeah, like, the only thing that any of us can hold true and, like, actually trust in is our moment. And so, like, if you take control for yourself in that one, you're doing the only best thing you could do.
Yeah.
And yeah, that really helped me get past that.
That made me think, I watched this, when I was first getting into tarot, I found this really cool lady online. I forgot, like, what her username is, but she was like, in regards to shuffling your cards, she was like, the only thing, she's like, you just need to know, the only thing that you have control over is yourself and the things that you can physically touch, the things that you can manipulate, and outside of that, you need to let go of any sense of control, because that is just, it's just not, that's not how it works. And also, like, I was, another thing that you said was making me think, like, but we do have this agency, you know, like we do, we have so much power, and like we just, every single, if we really sit in that presence, we have the power to make any possible decision, to go any which way and when any which direction. So that's why it's so important to know yourself, because, like, there's so many options. You have to be able to hone what is most true, most right for your body, and what is, like, what honors, like, the people around you, like, what other people need, and, like, how do you balance that, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. That was a long thought.
Maybe we pushed it to the furthest we could take that conversation.
I think we did. We pushed it out to the
outer
realms.
Because we are 4 minutes from our destination. My new bike!
Yes!
So excited.
So meta.
All right, so now I have to end this podcast.
Yeah. Well,
which I don't do a lot and makes me nervous.
What, the process of ending it?
Yeah,
or
just
the,
like,
saying goodbye to the fake audience that we have.
Saying goodbye to the potential 10 listeners. I feel like people, that's almost more pressure than putting out a really highly listened to podcast. It feels so much more personal.
True.
Any ideas?
No. I just know I would be such a great podcaster. Like,
I'm probably putting this in, so
good.
We'll wait for any comments.
I'm waiting for the day when I become, when people recognize my talents of speaking and singing and cooking and all the things, because there's so many.
It's coming. It's coming. You're one step closer. All right. Would you do this again?
Fuck yeah. I would do this for the rest of my life. This is what I do. Oh, shit. I fucking missed turn.
All right. Okay. Thank you for coming along with us. Have a great afternoon. Okay. So tell me about how you are into, like, you've been into tarot lately.
Oh my god. Dude, okay. So this summer, I have always gotten, I've, like, gotten a couple tarot readings in my life, I would say, but I've always shied away from it because, like, I don't know, the stigma associated with it. But
I feel like I just did, like, BuzzFeed quizzes as my tarot readings, because I would, like, had always read about them, and I was like, that's cool, but, like, that's a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll take a BuzzFeed quiz. Yeah. It'll dumb it down, and I'll get the message.
Yeah. The way that I felt about it was that, like, it would come to me if it was It would come to me when I needed it the most. So I was like, I'm not gonna like really pursue this. And this summer I ended up living with like three witches, and we all bought tarot cards together and like just
did
had
you give
this
them, or did you just buy the ones
no, we,
that called
we,
to you?
We bought the ones ourselves because, you know, like capitalism.
I
like,
honestly also
that.
Heard that like it shouldn't be taboo to buy your own cards.
No, so and
because
they
you
really
should connect with them.
Yeah, and it so they were really big and like kind of breaking down a lot of I guess just like stigma associated with tarot, and like just we formed this really empowering like circle of like queer femmes, and like would do tarot readings for each other, would like do tarot readings for ourselves with other people in the room. And it was like, yeah, I with them, like I learned like tarot. Yeah, tarot is what you make it, and that's like it has to be specific to you. So that's why like it is important that you, you know, obviously like treat the cards with respect to the things that everyone does with their tarot cards, but like it's ultimately,
do you
like,
remember to cleanse them before?
Actually, I don't. How do you do that?
I usually use incense to cleanse.
Dude, they've been feeling hella clouded lately. Maybe that's what I need to do.
Especially
I've never
if you've traveled, and also if you bought them at a store, there's a lot of other people's energy that can be attached to them. Girl. So I usually just use incense and intention to clear out all of the other energies.
Yo,
so I can like, and then I usually like try to like ask more for like help than like answers.
Yeah, that's, I always approach it with that kind of mindset, and I also, I feel like I connect tarot to, like, the ancestor worship that I do, so it's, like, it's very connected to that for me, but that makes sense. I should fucking think about that, because that deck has been places, and I've been putting a lot of bad energy into it recently, because I've been going to it very frustrated, and, like, the devil has been coming up a lot recently in my spreads.
I keep getting the tower, so.
Oh, wow, that is very, very powerful.
No, but I called out to my ancestors for the first time.
Yeah, am I going
on the full moon?
Yes.
But we literally just laughed together so hard because I was like, "I'm sorry, I never called out to you. Honestly, you were so white that I didn't really think you'd like have much to like add."
No, but
and
it's
like,
still
laughed with me.
Yeah, dude. Like,
I was like, I've never laughed this hard. Just like. Fully sober, five candles like lit around me in a half circle. My dad was like, "Did you do a séance last night?" I was like, "I promise you, not in this house."
No, not in this house. Well, we're just gonna have a nice walk to Freddy's. I just need like lemons and like tea. That's what I need.
I think I was gonna look for kava tinctures.
They have kava tea that is really good. That
you dropped off some kava tea, and I think my stepmom is gonna be shipping you some.
Good. Oh, did it work for you? How was that?
It's good. It's weird when you drink a lot of it. And also,
it is weird. It kind of puts your body out. Oh my gosh.
Commercial. a word from our sponsor break.
Freddie Myers.